Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to love to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains. And it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook. And also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves as we are women. We are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dr. Gallagher, and thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. We are going to have a great show today. We're going to be talking about finding joy and your happiness in your life, be it through relocating, finding some like-minded people, be it through music, inspiration, be it through meditation. All of these different aspects that are coming up in our lives these days. You know, it's really interesting we talk about this today because, you know, I'm almost 60, and if you ever mentioned any of these things to me in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, or even 80s when I was growing up, you would look like, hey, I know you got some kind of radar underneath that hair there. You know, what's going on? You would think you were from another world. They would think, you know, I really don't understand that. I don't know what you're talking about, and it really wouldn't connect with me. But now we find so much that people are looking for things to connect with other people, to find people who think like them, who maybe have a life purpose that is similar. And also to say how music and meditation can really bring you into this space of really having some peace. And we don't mean that kind of music, you know, when you stop at the red light and you have your window down and it's going boom, boom, boom. We all know that music. But for some people, that might work. We never know. So today my guest is David Eby. He is a musician and co-star in the film Finding Happiness. We've had the guests on before about Finding Happiness, the movie, and I think it's a great, great topic to be able to talk about, is how in this life can we find things that are so much more important than your house, your car, and all of that stuff in there. You know, I always say to the kids, you know, they'll say, where do you live? And I'll say, you mean the place where all my stuff is lodged at? And that's really the truth. It's really like almost like a storage unit sometimes. It's where we have all of our stuff. So, David, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, David, what do you think? The world has changed, right?
Absolutely. I teach music and meditation courses for high school and colleges. And if you were to ask me, would you be interested in meditation? When I was in high school, it would have been like, no, thank you, stranger. I need some help here. Versus now, these kids grow up eating yoga for breakfast, yoga, meditation, they're all familiar. So when I just query a group of high schoolers, how many here are familiar with meditation? Every single one of them raises their hands. And then I'll ask them, how many have a practice of meditation? And about a quarter of them keep their hands up. They're willing to have their hands up to recognize the fact that, yeah, I meditate. And that, to me, is a huge change.
And you know what? And we'll also be talking about this, too, about like-minded communities. Because let me tell you, I live here in New Orleans. You go and you say about meditation now and here, they're going to say you're nuts. this lady's crazy, right. What's going on with her, you know? So it's really about the location and the area in which you live, which is so vitally important these days. I think right now the world, everybody's saying, I know this for a fact. I used to grow up in, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and they always say,
Where in Pennsylvania?
It was north of the Amish country up in the Poconos. And you know what was really interesting is that all of those people there would say, oh, man, you know, I know. You go out to California, you come back, and you're going to get us to drink greens. Not going to happen. Or don't put those thoughts on us. This is the way we've lived for generation and generation, and we're going to continue, you know. And then when I lived in Arizona, excuse me, it was so different there where they were really had a huge quest. There's a real separation there where the ones where they want to look, be, and, you know, be up on that scale, look perfect, have house perfect, all that other stuff, to the others where really are connecting with the earth and their souls. And so there's really a space there, you know, in between those two. So I really think it really depends on finding your tribe, as we would say, finding like-minded people, find something, because you know what, life is so short, and it's really about, it's time to shift, and I think the time to shift, the door might be closing. I feel like it's been probably for about the past 3 or 4 years, but it feels like it's got maybe 2 more years, and it's going to be, we really need to be where we need to be.
Yes.
Have you had any thoughts on that?
I am so lucky to have found my tribe 20 years ago. I felt kind of like a bit of a misfit going through life. I was a musician, number one, and that places a sense of loneliness on you right there, because you have to spend hours in practice room when all your other kid friends are out playing. And even in music school, I felt like I was looking for something deeper. I was looking for a way to help change the world and uplift society. And the ways that music was doing that, was trying to do that, didn't seem to work very well for me. So I got involved in different things. I tried this and tried that. And it wasn't until I moved out here to Portland, Oregon, that I walked into a place called Ananda, and I realized I was home. And that feeling is one that I wish everybody could have. A place where you walk in and you just immediately look at somebody and say, I know you. I've never seen you before in my life, but I know you. And that instant recognition. Because being in a diverse environment with differing thoughts and different opinions, be it Republican, Democrat, be it liberal, conservative, are all great for opening our minds. But when it gets down to it, if you want to accomplish something in your life, you need support. You don't need the people telling you that you're crazy, it's never going to work, I totally disagree. You need those people who are willing to support you for reaching out and doing something different with your life, doing something courageous with your life. And to be surrounded by a group of like-minded people is such a fabulous way to live.
And it is a very big change. You know, we had Hurricane Katrina here, and we stayed for that and all the adventures after that. And people said, oh, all of these others from the other areas are coming in and trying to change us. They're trying to change our life. They're trying to change what is. And a lot of change did occur. And then now a lot of those people who came in to do the change, many of them have left because it just didn't fit with them. And, you know, they may have been able to make the changes, or they may have not, or they just did their job and it was time to go. But I think we find that a lot when events happen in the world. You know, you might have a lot of violence in a city and people may move away. And that's kind of good, because they're saying, you know, it's not something I wish to participate anymore. In other words, you don't always have to sit in the middle of violence to be able to say, I'm going to be the mainstay here and I'm going to change it. I don't know how, but I am. There may be some people like that, but most of the time you just need to relocate and be able to do what you can, you know, in your life. It's a tough place to be. I think there's all kinds. You can go all the way around the circle and find all different reasons for what we do in the world.
Yes, and thankfully there are the digital ways and the virtual communities that are springing up through connection. And that's what I loved about your introduction, is that we are all searching for that connection to other people, to ourselves. And for me, the meditation aspect was a way that I could connect more deeply with who I am, who I truly was, because I was so wrapped up in what other people thought of me, what I thought other people thought of me, the expectations that they had, trying to please them, and I really didn't know who I was, and I was too afraid to find out who I was until my wife basically gave me an ultimatum of, you better take a look at your life. So then I had heard about meditation, so I got a book, Autobiography of a Yogi, and I started reading it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I want. This really speaks to me. And as I started meditating, I discovered that all those fears of what I thought I would find inside when I got quiet, because people are terrified of getting quiet because of the inner voices in their heads, and they're afraid of facing these things. But the truth of the matter is that that is only skimming the surface of who we truly are. And once you basically have the courage to be with yourself, then you can allow that forgiveness, you can allow that love, that light that is naturally in the heart. The heart is where everybody, whether they're the hardest criminal or the greatest saint, they each have this in common, that the heart's natural ability is to love. That's what it was made for. That's what's in that heart area. I'm not talking about the muscle that pumps, but the energy in that area is designed. We are, as human beings, are designed for that. Of course, we can cover it up with as much gunk as we want to, and we can have to, you know, dig through those layers to get there. But anyway, the meditation allowed me to connect with that deeper part of myself.
And, you know, I think a lot of times as we go through life, we may not have been able to quiet our minds. And it may depend on what decade in life you're in, because a lot of people say, well, I really didn't pay attention to all of these things until I retired, or my kids went away, or I had a life-changing health event, or my world just came crashing down, and that's what I had to decide to do. And sometimes they say, I just sat there and I don't really know what I'm doing. And sometimes people can be even doing meditation, may not even know it. Some people may not. They can also say, you know, I don't need to be sitting with my legs crossed and on the floor with a pillow behind me, you know. And there's, in other words, there's so many different things in the world. It's just about quieting your mind. And if you can just quiet it and just, it's just quiet. That's all there is to it. You know, it just is.
I love the fact that you brought that up, because music and meditation go together incredibly well. If you think of your greatest musical experience of being at a rock concert or folk concert, or singing with a group of friends, or being at a classical concert, or just being in nature and listening to the music of nature, your mind, if you think about it, your mind during that experience was still, and you were able to have expansive consciousness of, I love watching little boys see something amazing, because they just go, wow, and in their voice is this sense of expansion and stillness. They're not thinking a mile a minute, but they're just experiencing that expansion. They're experiencing that stillness. And so for me, music is extremely powerful to use. People go to concerts to experience that. And meditation is not about being still and being bored to death. It's about a sense of dynamic stillness. And granted, sometimes it takes a long while to get there in meditation, but any effort is not wasted. So whether you're doing a walking meditation, a sitting meditation, and by all means, don't make an excuse of not being able to sit on the floor. Just sit on a chair, sit on a couch,
right.
Get some pillows across, just get yourself comfortable. In fact, yesterday, I visited a woman with MS who is all bound up in a wheelchair, and I taught her how to meditate just propping herself up in the wheelchair, and she was able to get that sense of, wow, I can do this.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about music, and I had said to you beforehand is that when I was very young and through my high school years, I used to play the organ in a Catholic church. You know, there was a huge, it was a pipe organ, but I didn't know how to use the pipes on it. So I just used the two-tier big organ. But I can remember being very small, fourth grade, fifth grade, running up those really dark stairs in the back of the church by myself to turn on this big organ in a really cool church and playing the organ with the priest and singing the Latin Mass. That was a long time ago when it really Mass was all about in the Catholic religion. It was about the language was foreign still. The people didn't quite understand it, and the priest was still turned his back to the people. But that was a long time ago. But at any rate, I still remember playing and singing in Latin. And I would feel like, okay, maybe they weren't listening, maybe they weren't paying attention. But all of a sudden, I'd be pushing that lever on that thing, and it'd be going louder and louder and louder, and everybody'd be looking up like, what the heck is she doing? You know? And here would be this little kid just singing in Latin church and as loud as ever and so off-key. It was unbelievable. But I can remember just not even noticing where I was. I did not notice the people in the church. I didn't notice anybody or anything. It just was what I was doing, and I really think that's what you really tried to speak to when you help others with music.
Yes, because music is all about vibration, and music is Paramahansa Yogananda says that sound is the most powerful force in the universe, and music is the greatest of the arts because it affects us the most directly. Music is vibration. What are we but vibration? And just as water waves can bring flotsam and jetsam to the shores, the sound waves carry the thoughts and emotions not only of ourselves, but of the composer. So if a composer like Handel is inspired, which he was when he composed the Hallelujah Chorus, he said, I saw the gates of heaven open before me and the great God himself revealed, and he was found with his arms upraised and tears streaming down his face. And music captures this inspiration. Johannes Brahms is one of the greatest classical composers, and he spoke to this in the same manner. He said, I go into this state that's between dreaming and wakefulness, and there I contact the divine, and from that place comes all of my melodic and harmonic inspirations. So he's not even the one who's writing it. He's receiving it from this other source, whether you choose to call it God or the universe or our higher self. It really doesn't matter where you split these hairs of, well, was it the Christian God or was it the Hebrew God? Which God are we talking about here?
Right.
We're all after that same connection to something greater than ourselves.
And I think sometimes I see it a lot with patients who are at that time of end of life or hospice care. And when they listen to music, no matter what it is, you can just see them just... The pain sometimes seems to be a lot less. They just seem to be in a space where they can relax for a few minutes. So, you know, it's such a misused or unused tool in the healthcare professions to be able to put music on, and rather to a tone that you could actually hear it, you know, most of the time when you're in these healthcare facilities and having treatments or anything. Because it is so
Absolutely.
Important, and it just lets you, keep your blood pressure down, if anything, you know? And we just don't even seem to recognize that anymore.
Yes. In fact, there, in the field of hospice, there are some magnificent artists who, and if you can get this is how I want to go, two harpists in the room playing side by side on either side of your bed.
Yep.
And oh my gosh, the harp is just such an incredible instrument by itself. But to have that kind of segue into the unknown is one of the best ways that I can think of going. Yeah.
Absolutely. Can we talk a little bit about meditation for a minute, David? Because, like I said to you before, you know, for me to sit and quiet my mind, I can instantly quiet my mind. For some reason, I don't know. I do other things with it. Who knows? But for me, sitting on long periods of time just doesn't work. But I can just say to myself, and, you know, I have my own techniques. But how do you suggest someone get started? And let's talk about the older age group here, because it is a big deal when you're older and you're saying, I don't quite get it. I don't know what this is. What's the point? Blah, blah, blah. You know the whole story. But when we look at it as we're older, we've got a lot of baggage. And I've said it so many times on this radio show before, is that God does not sign for UPS. Get rid of your bags now. And that's so true, because that's really when they're really holding on to that which is so painful, they haven't looked at, they haven't felt, or that you haven't even allowed themselves to be okay. And when you do that in that older age group, I really think that's where so much profound change comes about.
Yes. So, yes, the first thing is not having support and not having good instruction. So finding a meditation class, a live meditation class, because trying to do it by yourself without any help is very difficult to do. Having somebody who knows what they're doing is such a presence, because we as human beings are energy. And if you have been in a situation where somebody's had a really intense energy and you come away from being with them just kind of having absorbed some of that energy, whereas if you are in the presence of somebody who is very deep and very still and very skilled at letting go of the baggage, that makes it a lot easier to have a guide in this way. And then second of all, having something to focus upon. So for instance, in the meditation that I do, I'm focusing on the breath, the sensation of the breath coming in my nose and flowing into my lungs. And once I can find stillness in that, then saying a mantra or a mind tool or just repeating a phrase, for instance, I am as I inhale, and then peace, or I am love, or I am joy, or whatever you would like to affirm as you're doing that. But then here's the real thing, is looking for how to enjoy it. For instance, when I was a kid, I loved going in the deep end of the swimming pool and just lying in the water, like sinking underneath the water and just experiencing that stillness. And to me, that was thrilling. And I think everybody enjoys being out in nature, going for a walk. It sounds boring when you try to think about taking time out of your busy day to do. But once you're there, it's like, oh, that's right, I'm remembering. So meditation is all about remembering these higher states which we enjoy. Our souls love to meditate, but our bodies and our active minds sometimes are a little reluctant to allow us to feel that peace.
Absolutely. Have you found that, let's talk about the movie Finding Happiness. How did you get involved with that, and how do you see it playing through? I mean, just tell us a little bit about it first, about the movie Finding Happiness.
Sure. The movie is a fictional documentary. It's a docudrama, for instance, and it was a way to introduce what we do at Ananda. I was speaking earlier about connection and living in community, living with support, and I had the incredible opportunity to live in the Ananda spiritual community, the Ananda Village, down in Northern California, and it's a 800-acre cooperative community that is comprised of people who meditate, people who come together to say, this is how I choose to live. So we grow our own food, we have our own school, we outreach to the neighboring communities, and so it's not like leave us alone, we just want to be ourselves here,
right.
But we place ourselves in service not only to one another, not only to God, but to the greater community. And so I got to live there for 12 years, and at the end of my stay there, this movie came about, and I was asked to play the host for a fictional journalist played by Elizabeth Rome of Law and Order, and her new show is Stalker. And so she comes out, she's very skeptical at first because her her boss at the newspaper, at the magazine, sends her out to investigate what we do as solutions to the problems that we face, the greed, the isolation, the loneliness. And so she comes out just a little wary of anything spiritual or spiritual teachers or cults and things like that. And so I introduce her to Swami Kriyananda, the founder of Ananda, and which was founded back in 1968. And so she gets to meet many of the people there, and the movie shares the solutions that we have found to make life so much more enjoyable, so much more worthwhile and fulfilling, not only on the physical level, but deeper on the community level, on the spiritual level.
You know, I think so many times these days we really think that we're living in a bubble. We try to keep things close-knit. We say it's nobody's business but my business, or we say, you know, you always got to be a little bit more than the Joneses. And a lot of times it's not really the way to live in the growing community now.
Yes. Vulnerability is a really, really interesting aspect. And what I've learned is that in musical performance, the more vulnerable you are, the more beauty comes through. The more vulnerable an artist lets themselves be, the more you're attracted that they have something unique and beautiful to say, that they're not hiding behind some very safely couched way of presenting the music, or to speak of friendships. If somebody is willing to open their heart and to allow you into their experience, it's an amazing way to connect. And, you know, for me, the meditation has been a letting down of those constricting walls, of allowing myself to let other people in and to allow what I feel deep inside, the inspiration, the love, the joy that I've naturally felt springing up from my heart, from my soul, mm-hmm. and to share that openly with people. And for me, that was a really hard lesson to learn, because I grew up with, as a guy, you know, that's not cool. You just don't do those
right.
kind of things. You're supposed to be tough. You're supposed to be hard. You're supposed to be closed. You're not supposed to let anybody know what you're thinking. You're supposed to be to gain the upper hand in competition and things like that. And eventually I was like, forget it. I'm not happy. I want to be happy. So let me do what I need to do to find that happiness.
And, you know, to have vulnerability sometimes in many situations, especially in business and professions, it's rather difficult because it is not part of the, as we would say, the job description. And many times people find themselves, you know, fired from this job or another when things like that happen. And, you know, I can even think back on myself now that we're saying that. I was a dental hygienist for like 30 years, and I can remember one time at this office, some distant person that I might have known had come in, and I know what it was. The woman came in, and she said, I asked her why she came in, and she said, oh, well, my husband died 2 days ago, but I didn't want to disappoint the dentist and not have this appointment, so I came anyway. And I kind of just, you know, was talking to her, and she was sitting there crying, and I had my arms around her. And as soon as, like, I mean, I got ripped around by the dentist, to the point where he was like, don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do this in my office. And he was like so willing and ready to get rid of me because, vulnerability was not allowed in the office. You were there to clean teeth, be quiet, do what your job was. And I think there's so many missed opportunities in this world just because of the similar situations that people may have had or they may think that may occur in their workplaces. And they really let a lot of people going by, and you could feel the sadness leaving from people. Sometimes even when you're in healthcare situations. I've been in healthcare since 1973. And when I look back on it, there's zillions of times that I can remember watching people walk away, and it's like, oh gosh, I wish I could just say this, that, or the other to them, you know, and change what they're going away with. And it mm-hmm. is something in this world that's really difficult for many.
Yes. And you were speaking earlier about the opening that you feel is here. Mm-hmm. And I do see increased service opportunities in the businesses that are thinking, you know, this old way of doing things is stupid.
Right.
It's very selfish. Let's do something that's more serviceful. And there are these companies that are starting up that are allowing for a greater service, a greater connection to their clients, because they realize, especially entrepreneurs, that if their customers are happy, that's
right.
going to give them increased business. It's not to get one over on them in the short sale, but to really develop connections, really develop the relationships. And by seeing everybody as your friend, you have such a greater advantage than viewing everybody as your enemy or as competition.
And, you know, in the healthcare professions, every time someone comes in with something, you could turn around and say, and there walks me. It could have been me. I can tell you, I went to Walmart the other day, and I was standing in line for something. And there was this woman, she was just kind of walking around, and she looked like she was falling and everything. And she was still carrying on her own merry way. And then she was very confused. She kept asking the same questions. She didn't know where she was or what she was doing. And the woman in the store had answered her question, and after the other woman walked away, she said, yeah, that lady comes in here all the time. We have to tell her 10 and 20 times, you know, but she just, I don't know what's up with her. I says, maybe, I said to her, you know, you just look at that and say that will be me, that could be me, you know,
mm-hmm.
or goodness, you know, maybe she just needs some help, you know, can you go help her? And no one was willing to go help. No one was willing to do anything. They just kind of all looked, stared and walked away. And the woman happily found what she needed. She was just really looking for the place to check out. But we look at that so many times and we say, what is up with this world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the wonderful thing about mindfulness meditation is the building of compassion. And if you can imagine a world that was filled with compassion instead of competition, or
right.
just being isolated and only caring about yourself, I think the world would absolutely be a much better place to be, because it's scary to reach out. All those people that you were speaking of don't know, because it takes a lot of courage. It takes more courage to reach out to somebody because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you have to make yourself once again be a little vulnerable because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how the person is going to react. But think about it. All those times where you said, oh, what the heck, I'm going to go help this person. You come
right.
away smiling.
Yes.
You come away smiling.
And especially when you just don't even think about it and just do it, it's sort of like your natural instinct, you know? How many times have you, you could be standing in line and the woman, some or a man could be in the front of you and they're putting things back because they don't have enough money, you know? Can you just push those up in their cart and just say, you know, don't worry about it? Some people do that. You know, I've done that, you know, I can
mm-hmm.
say. And those things sometimes are just, it doesn't even register in your head. It just comes from the goodness of people's hearts that are open. So it's really all about, you know, letting yourself be able to be open in the first place. And once you're open, then those things will start to appear where you can further expand, I think, your consciousness, don't you think?
Exactly. And this is a key for meditation, getting to coming to meditation from a place of an open heart. So immediately after doing something like that, it's a great time to just, of course, being in the middle of a grocery store shopping cart line isn't the time to sit down and meditate, but to bring yourself back into that space, to either sing or to do something serviceful, and then allow yourself the opportunity to enjoy that inner feeling, not of pride. Pride is something different than being serviceful, because in when you're serviceful, you feel something greater flowing through you. And as a performer, as a musical performer, that's the greatest joy that I have ever experienced, is to feel, whoa, what's coming through me here? It's not just my own ego. There's something bigger coming through, or connection with the audience, or connection with the people that I play and sing with. So,
but also, too, with music, don't you think that you all really have to cooperate together? In other words, you even no matter what instrument you're playing, you can go off on your own tirade, you know, just because you had this overwhelming feeling. In other words, you needed to be with that community, join it in together, and together you all were producing something, you know?
In fact, that's the incredible thing that I found, because I conducted the choir there at the Ananda Village, and here are 40 singers who come together and they all meditate. And I don't know of any other choir anywhere who have that common practice of not only meditating by themselves, but also coming together to spend time in silence. And it's an incredibly wonderful bonding. In music, there is a lot of unspoken signals, unspoken communication that happens. And being able to tune in to the subtle nuances of not only pitch, of rhythm, of ensemble, of blend. When you start becoming aware of others' realities, then your whole experience starts to expand. So even though the singers that I worked with were not professional singers, my goodness, I began to have the most incredible, joy-filled performances and experiences from working with them, where my mind would just go completely still, and I found myself so still that I didn't even need to breathe. And it's just that beauty that literally takes your breath away. It's not when you're holding your breath like, but I'm like, wow, when you get to that stillness, that presence that comes. So my dream, go ahead.
No, go ahead, your dream.
My dream here is to take what I've learned in working with these veteran meditators and teach musicians, teach singers, teach instrumentalists, teach whoever I can find, how meditation greatly improves the musical experience. It can help your mind to stop spinning and become calm. It can allow you to overcome stage fright, because once you have this presence of inspiration, whether that's an energy, a feeling, a vibration, an uplifting emotion, then when you have that projecting through you, that trumps any fear that you have, because when you're experiencing that, you feel like you are in command of your higher self, that something greater is coming through you, and you don't have to rely on your own little self.
You know, it's so interesting you should say that, because if anyone's ever watched the show The Voice on television, that's exactly what they try to speak to the young singers to say. Connect with yourself, be with yourself, you know, just bring that inner self out, and that in turn will connect you to the audience, and they will feel your energy. I mean, they actually use those almost exact words, you know, and really that's what you're looking for is, day to day, how can you just open up your heart and just be, you know, at peace who you are, and that's it. I mean, it doesn't have to be a long laundry list of who you are, what you do. There's been many a times, it's so funny, I was doing my website probably about, I think it was a year and a half ago, and It was just, I could not get to it. I mean, I just couldn't do it. I had to redo 3 websites. And on one or two of my pages, I would put on the top, I am, and I couldn't get anywhere else. 6 months, 9 months down the road, just kept stuck there. Then one day I had Miguel Ruiz Jr. on the show, and I was laughing about it. And I said, you know, I'm still stuck on that page. It just says I am. And he said, isn't that a great place to be? And I went, oh, okay. But it took me until that, you know, and to realize, okay, don't need all that other stuff.
Yes. And that's the beauty of it. And what I've come up with is I've taken everything that I've learned over the past 18 years that I've been meditating, and I've collated it into basically 4 modules. And the first module is the hush, is getting into dynamic stillness, using meditation, using nature, to be able to allow yourself to experience dynamic stillness. Because if you can think of a lake, a calm, calm lake without any ripple, and on that lake, even a pebble of inspiration can be perceived. Our lives are so busy, are so loud, that we can't listen to that still, quiet voice within us. So it's about getting quiet and getting comfortable with that.
Are these modules available for anybody, or are they just for musical professionals, or...?
Yes. On my website, I have I describe what they are, davidebymusic.com. That's David, and then ebymusic.com. And then the second is the heart. And the heart is that perceiving tool that we have inside of us. It's being able to relax in that place, to open ourselves and allow ourselves to feel, but not like, oh, I feel sad or I feel depressed, but to perceive for that spark of inspiration, for that quiet little voice. Maybe it's, for some people it comes in words, for some people it comes in images, for some people it comes in feelings, and it doesn't matter how you perceive, but the heart is that intuitive perception. It's the center of intuitive perception that is, for me, much more reliable than the mind, the reasoning mind that, well, I shouldn't do that because then this will happen. And then you find out, well, right, I really should have done that. There wasn't any reason to do it, but I should have acted on my intuition. And in fact, Steve Jobs built Apple completely upon intuition. And he talks about this, how intuition is so much more important than what people realize. And so he talks about that a lot. And then the third module is the lift. Is if the first is about getting quiet, the second is about perceiving, the third is about raising your energy, engaging the energy. When you feel inspired, your energy naturally rises. And so creating positive habits in your life, rewriting the script that is going in the background of your mind constantly, day in and day out, changing the dialogue that happens there, putting yourself in the midst of positive people, positive environment, is so vital for this to happen. And then the fourth is the flow of being in that state, in activity, where it's like a great meditation, where you're in the flow, you know what to do, there's no fear, and you're wrapped up in whatever you're doing, and time can either stand still and you can be in that incredible timeless place, or hours can pass and you won't even know it because it's just been such a joy to have. So in performance, this flow happens when you feel that union with the music, with the audience, with others in your ensemble, and it's such a joy to experience. And for me, that makes life worth living.
Right, not only are you experiencing it, but also the people who are watching, they just can just sit there basking in that energy, and they mm-hmm. can feel that same type feeling, correct?
Exactly, exactly. because they are allowed into the performer's experience. And there are some people who, well, picture it this way. You walk on stage, and immediately you're faced with the attention of everybody in the audience. And that attention takes the form of energy being directed at you. And if you're not prepared for it, it can make you very, very uncomfortable. And you try to push that energy away and say, no, I don't want this. And that's your body trying to deal with that. And so that's where stage fright, that's where performance anxiety comes from, is not being comfortable with the energy coming from the audience. And then there are the people who say, oh, yes, I love to perform, and they draw that into their ego. And the all that energy gets sucked up into the person, and the audience is like, hey, where did my energy go? I want more. I want it back from you. Why would you give it to me? And it's kind of like the women who play hard to get. You just keep chasing them because you want your energy back, but it's not coming back. But there's the third performer, the inspired performer, who is able to take that energy and to add it to the spark of inspiration they feel inside. Once again, whether it's an image, a feeling, a vibration, an energy, and or words if you're a speaker, and then infuse the performance with the energy that's being offered to them from the audience, and then offer that back to the audience, and then they start to resonate. I use the word resonate a lot with it. And we all talk about this in our language. We say, I really resonate with that. We're on the same wavelength. That struck a chord in me. I'm really in tune with that idea. That was a very moving performance. We experience naturally this inner resonance of energy where our bodies, our energies tell us something. And we're not really quite in tune with that yet, as a society and with our language, but it's still there. And so when a performer is inspired, then that allows the audience, if they open themselves and allow themselves to be vulnerable, to feel that resonating inside by sympathetic resonance. One really fun way to demonstrate this is if you're ever with a piano, and you hold the right-hand pedal of a piano down. And this, I'm talking about the real pianos, not the
I know which one you mean, yes.
It lifts off the dampers that hold the strings from vibrating. And then if you sing into the piano, you'll hear your voice coming back, and it's not an echo. It's the strings saying, hey, I know how to vibrate like that. And they will start resonating on their own accord. So if these inanimate objects know how to respond, then how about us living and breathing spiritual human beings? Of course we resonate and have this ability. So that's why I'm thrilled with meditation and music, because it allows us to enter that space where we can truly have that connection to that something greater that's coming through the music.
And David, that takes us really full circle back to the Finding Happiness movie, because you know that was really how everybody's learning to do that around each other. They're all learning to live and be in each other's space, but to be in a welcoming space, an open space, and some place that really nourishes each other's soul. It doesn't suck out. In other words, you don't have people who are constantly walking around, you know, dragging that energy or that whatever it is around. It's peaceful living, and I really think we came full circle with that.
Oh, good. And I had the great honor of producing the music for the soundtrack as well. And that was a whole nother experience. And if I may end with this, when we all met for the first time, I don't know how to describe this, but I felt this commanding presence come in the midst of us. And I don't have vision, so I can't identify with my eyes, but I just felt this energy. And I kind of stepped away, and I said, because I wasn't involved, and I mentally just acquainted myself, and it was, I didn't hear any words, but the feeling that I got was like, hi, I'm going to be the star of Finding Happiness, and your job is to portray me and convey it through the music as best as possible. And over again, through the demanding work of making the movie, of creating the soundtrack, I went again and again to that presence. And if you have ever been moved by a movie, which I'm hoping if the listeners can watch the movie, they'll be able to get a little bit of a sense of this, of something greater that is possible in our lives that I have experienced and that I tried to convey through my presence on screen and through the music, and to come away thinking, oh, well, that was a beautiful movie. It manipulated me, just like Castaway, when Tom Hanks and the volleyball are out in the raft and the volleyball falls off and Tom Hanks has to decide whether he goes for the volleyball or for his raft, and Wilson, he's calling out and there's this beautiful music playing and I'm crying, tears are flowing down my face, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm crying over a volleyball.
Absolutely.
Music can make us feel so deeply. But I want to assure listeners that what they are feeling is real, is something that I have touched myself and am so eager to share with people.
And David, we did put the link to your website on the bottom of today's show page. And on your website, you also have the link, and the Finding Happiness movie is noted right on the right-hand side of the website. So for
exactly.
the listeners, if you go right to David's website, you'll be able to find that link directly to the Finding Happiness movie. Well,
great.
David, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you with us today. In closing, could you share how people might be able to find out more about you, but also, too, about your modules, who those might benefit, and how they may be able to contact you?
Yes. So I've created these with musicians in mind, but as I'm sharing these with friends who have nothing to do with music, they go, oh my gosh, I can use this in business. I can use this in creativity. I can use this in my writing. So it's for anybody who is interested in opening themselves up for inspiration to flow, because we've all had those flashes of inspiration. And flashes of inspiration typically happen when our heart is open, when we are in a state of stillness, when our mind is calm, when our energy is ready to be uplifted. Inspiration is not going to come when we're dwelling on our problems or in the midst of an argument or in a feeling of doubt or of self-pity or of low energy. All of these things have to be in alignment. And what I love about these modules is that they open the channel. It's like inspiration can strike at any moment like a lightning rod, like a bolt of lightning. But if you have a lightning rod, it attracts inspiration to come. So in this way, inspiration makes its home in people who have these naturally going for themselves, when they can feel a sense of peace, of open-hearted love, of uplifted energy, and of willingness to take a leap of faith and to enter into that vulnerability and allow themselves to experience something greater flowing through them.
Well, David,
so,
it was a pleasure to have you. So can you share how they can contact you? That'd be great.
Yes, David at davidebmusic.com. And once again, my last name is spelled E, B as in boy, Y. And you can also Google just David Eby and cello. I'm a cellist by nature. And so I'm on Facebook and as well, and Google Plus, and my website.
Perfect. Well, David, it was a pleasure to have you with us. So if anybody would like to find out more information about David, his link is on the bottom of today's show page. And it was great having you, David. So I really appreciate you coming on today.
Well, what a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about David, his link is on the bottom of today's show page, and please do check it out. And do remember, on the right-hand side of his homepage on the website, there is a square, and it says Finding Happiness. That is the movie David and I were both talking about. Please do click on there and watch the movie. It is absolutely fabulous. And you'll be able to see David in the movie. And it's really great to also check out his modules that he has on his website about how to find a little bit more bring music and meditation, you know, to inspire and uplift, as we call it, to really be able to get into the feeling of it, to see how it resonates with you, and to be able to just open up your heart and your soul and your spirit. That's really where we are today. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you with us today. So thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.